This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Tiki and Tierney this Wednesday morning. I'm Tiki Barber. BT is out for the day, but I got you for the next 3 hours. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We have a fun show for you today. Oliver Luck, who's had many hats or worn many hats in his professional career, will join us in about 35 minutes. He's now the commissioner, or soon will be. I guess he is now, but eventually will be the commissioner of the XFL, which doesn't kick off until 2020. We'll ask him about all the fun things that he has going on there. We have inbounds and out of bounds, as always, at the end of our second hour. And then Herman Moore, a fantastic wide receiver from the Detroit Lions and also UVA alum. He was a high jump champion, too, at college. Joins us at 5:20 Eastern. That would be 2:20 Pacific. But we got to start with the Redskins and, more importantly, Colin Kaepernick. And we've all heard the questions that have been thrown around over the years about why, say years now, because it's been almost, it's almost two full ones, why Colin Kaepernick hasn't gotten another job in the National Football League. And we know the issues currently, especially. There is a collusion case that Colin Kaepernick has open against the National Football League, where he's had to depose a bunch of the general managers, I think maybe even some of the owners, because Jerry Jones was involved in those conversations, and that could leave a little bit of a bad taste. It's all stemming from the national anthem kneeling protest that he started a few years ago and has continued to be a talking point, or at least a point of contention for the National Football League. But I just want to go through this list of responses. And I saw this morning on Sports Illustrated, and it caught my eye. This is what former coaches have had to say about Colin Kaepernick and why they haven't signed him. This is Mike Mularkey, who was formerly of the Tennessee Titans. This is back in 2017. He said, he's not familiar with our offense. That's an easy one. Catch all, right? He doesn't know our offense. Oh, and by the way, he must not be smart enough to learn our offense. Here is the general manager of the Denver Broncos. Now, this was the one that really rubbed people the wrong way, because John Elway tried to trade for Colin Kaepernick when he was in San Francisco. The trade didn't quite get worked out. And then in 2018, this was back in 2016 at the end of the season, back in 2018, he was asked why you won't take Colin. He said he had a chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He didn't want to take it, so we passed. Here's Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson actually makes a little bit of sense. Probably the biggest reason is time invested. If you bring a guy off the street this late in the season, you have to spend a lot of time getting him caught up to speed. And that makes a sense as well. But Colin Kaepernick has played in the National Football League. He has experience and probably knows what it takes to get up to speed to play in the National Football League. Pete Carroll actually kind of said the smart thing. Colin's a starter. We have a starter. But he is a starter in the league. And I can't imagine somebody wanting to give him, not wanting to give him a chance to play. It was kind of like, we don't want him to be our backup. We have Russell Wilson. Colin Kaepernick comes in here. Russell Wilson has a bad game. All of a sudden, people want the starter and Colin Kaepernick to be the starter over Russell Wilson. So I get that. The only one that really kind of said the truth was my former head coach, who is now the vice president player personnel down in Jacksonville, Tom Coughlin. Simply, we did the study, the research, we weren't interested, period. I mean, I can kind of get down with that. He said, look, we weren't interested, just tell the truth. And that's, unfortunately, what people are not doing, except for John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh, when asked about this offseason, because we remember their situation. Joe Flacco's coming off an injury-riddled season. They almost had signed RG3 before last season. RG3 said no to that signing. They ultimately signed him again. But here's what John Harbaugh had to say when asked about potentially signing Colin Kaepernick.
We didn't rule it out at all. I mean, he's a really good football player, and I think, I believe he's a really good person. You know, it all depends on a lot of things. It depends on Colin, first of all, what he wants to do. What's his passion? What's his priority? What's he want to do? And what kind of shape he's in, you know? And if he's ready to go, and then our needs, you know? So we'll just kind of see where it goes. But I don't think that's different for us than any other team. We're definitely going to get another arm in here. He's not an arm, obviously. Right. So he's an accomplished football player. And we always like having good football players around.
Now, what he means by an arm, this was before this 2018 season, is just a guy to throw the ball around in training camp and also during their season as your scout team quarterback. Sometimes you have, you know, a project that you pick up off the street who maybe went to a smaller school that you bring on as your quarterback, your arm quarterback, your scout team guy, or, you know, we got to get deep into the rotation and training camp. We're, you know, throw, you know, whatever, guy to the wolves out there just to throw the ball around a little bit. That's what he meant by that's not Colin Kaepernick. Now, there's some other issues revolving around Cap. He's 31 years old, just turned 31 on November 3rd. So in some regards, you could say he's aged a little bit. And he was last in the league when he was 29 back in 2016. They could say, you know what, fans are going to get upset. But would fans really get upset? Some of them would, but would it be a vocal minority, or some of them heavily and probably very supportive of Colin Kaepernick, not only for the stance he took, but because when you go back and you look at his last play in 2016, he actually played pretty well. 2,200 yards. This is an 11 starts. 2,200 yards, 16 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. He also had almost 500 yards rushing and a couple touchdowns with his legs. He's an effective quarterback. You look at what offenses are doing right now. Why can't Colin Kaepernick fit that mold? I think that he could. The unfortunate thing is that we get coaches who have legit opportunities and real needs at quarterback, like the Washington Redskins just recently because of the injury to Alex Smith. And what do? And also, let's not forget the now injury to Colt McCoy. What do? They bring in Mark Sanchez, who also hadn't played since 2016. And Mark Sanchez, we all know, can't play quarterback in the National Football League, at least not as effectively as he did for the first 2 years with the New York Jets when they had that fantastic running game. And they just signed Josh Johnson, who, by the way, was supposed to play in the Alliance of American Football because he bounced around to 16 other teams, maybe not that many, but a lot of other teams over the last couple of years and just could never stick, even though he was with the Giants for training camp. But this is Jay Gruden when asked about why Colin Kaepernick wasn't considered when all of this desperate need for a quarterback existed for his Washington Redskins team.
He's been discussed for sure. You know, right now at this point, we already had the workout last week with a few guys. We had a couple other guys coming in today. And then, you know, it's just going to be a matter of which way we want to go. Do we want to go with the guys familiar with my terminology, who we worked out last week, or with the new guy to back up Sanchez with a similar skill set, or go with the guy and teach basically a whole new kind of offense with a new offensive lineman with a lot of the zone reads and all that stuff. So not a lot of time to really get a brand new quarterback and new system installed and taught in a couple of days of practice. So he's been talked about and discussed, but we'll probably go a different direction.
Now, I like Jay Gruden. I think he's a really good coach. He was a great, great player when he was in the Arena League. I think he's got tons of influences, including his brother, this West Coast offense that he likes to run, his ability to get running backs engaged, and move out of the pocket, you know, utilize tight ends, be smart with the football. But he positions this as if football is the most complicated thing on the face of the planet. Like you're going to learn how to launch a rocket into space. Football was once described to me by one of my great favorite coaches. He said, Tiki, we're just a bunch of PE majors coaching PE majors. It's football. My kid's high school runs offenses that are similar. Maybe not the same terminology, maybe not the same complexity, but similar to what they play in the National Football League, or they play in college. It's football. Especially for a guy who's done it before, I'm sure he could pick it up. Now, the argument that we've had a guy invested on our team, we spent a lot of time with this guy. He's grown under our system. He's been here for a couple of years, or he knows our system. It's familiar what we used to do. It belies the truth about the National Football League. That is, it's a meritocracy. Why would you have an inferior player on your squad because he knows your system when there's a superior player available? One who's been to a championship, one who's one of the most dynamic, or at least used to be one of the most dynamic players in football, took his team to a Super Bowl, was that far, really about that far away from winning a Super Bowl against the Baltimore Ravens. Why would you settle for inferiority and then lie about it? And that's really my biggest problem. As it coaches, when they get asked this question about Colin Kaepernick, they lie. Just say, like Tom Coughlin did, we don't want him. We're not interested. He has too much baggage, social, emotional, whatever, fan base-wise. Say it as it is. Now, I know that collusion case is hanging over their head. There's this collective ignoring of Colin Kaepernick that goes on in the National Football League. It may not be collusion, but it is certainly happening. So they can't necessarily, they think they can't, but don't pretend that we believe that Colin Kaepernick can't learn a system, that the guy who's inferior, Mark Sanchez or Josh Johnson, who you bring in, are better than this guy is going to be. It's just not true. And here's the bigger issue that's going to be faced by a lot of these teams, and I think potentially the league in totality. We know what Colin Kaepernick has become. He was an exciting, dynamic player for the San Francisco 49ers. Jim Harbaugh did a fantastic job of getting him up to speed and one of the dynamic elite players at the position, even though it was ahead of the curve, so to speak, with all the things that he was doing. We see it a lot now with quarterbacks, but back then we didn't see it. We also know that he took a stance against the illegal murdering of African Americans in certain communities in this country, and then took a knee to demonstrate it. And it created a movement that's been going on for almost three years now. And more likely than not, we're going to remember Colin Kaepernick for that than any of those other things that happened on the football field, whether it's the Super Bowl or the game against the Green Bay Packers or whatever you want to remember about his athletic skill. His iconoclast nature is going to be remembered more than his football skill. And the unfortunate thing is that history is going to judge the NFL very poorly when it comes to this. Cap's not going away. It's been 3 years. And whenever someone's starting quarterback gets hurt, who is the first person that fans or media or common perception about the National Football League calls on to come and be their, not savior, but their fill-in? Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is not going to go away. But if coaches or GMs or owners ultimately don't want him, don't lie about it, because you make us look like idiots, and we're not idiots. We're just fans of PE, watching PE majors. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Oliver Luck's going to come up in a couple of segments here, but I want to get your calls, 855-212-4227. Tell me what you think. Should Cap be back? I think he should, but a lot of the teams and a lot of the GMs, a lot of the players think he should. A lot of the GMs and owners do not. We'll be back after this quick break. Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere. You feel like you got to have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn might strike. If that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here, CBS Sports Radio, talking about Colin Kaepernick. And yesterday on the show, me and BT had Richard Sherman on, who is so opinionated about so many different things. And obviously a great player in his own right, even though San Francisco's having a struggling season. We talked to him about a few things. One, Reuben Foster, who was picked up by the Washington Redskins, which led to a question about the second chances that players get in the league and if it's frustrating that Cap doesn't get one.
I don't compare it in that way.
Yeah.
I think it's unfair in general. I don't think it's unfair because these guys are getting a shot and he didn't commit a crime and he's not getting a shot. I think it's unfair because he's a good football player and he's not getting a chance to play football. And worse football players are getting chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance.
Yeah.
And obviously the Washington situation is the most egregious at this moment. But there have been plenty of quarterback situations that have been worse than this. And quarterbacks that have played meaningful football in this league that are not as talented or have the resume that Colin Kaepernick has. And the most frustrating thing is there's nothing that anybody can do about it.
Yeah.
The NFL is obviously belligerently freezing him out. And everybody sees it. It's pretty obvious. And there's nothing that can be done. You know, you just saw Colt McCoy and Mark Sanchez get opportunities to play for a team that's in a position that's fighting for a playoff spot. And to tell me that a kid who's not only gone through the playoffs in one big game, but has been to the Super Bowl, multiple Pro Bowls, has played at a real high level in this game, that he could not help that team. And I think that's the sad part, is that people see what it is and there's nothing being done.
Wow. Belligerently holding him out. I think it's right. Now, some people can argue it's the collusion case. You can't sue your future potential employees and have them want to sign you. It's interesting. I wonder what people think about this, because we've talked about this a lot, but we haven't talked about it recently, and especially not under a situation like what's happening in Washington, where Mark Sanchez comes in, and even though Jay Gruden says, well, this offense is vastly different from what Colin Kaepernick has done, he actually got put on blast because they showed some old clips of what Cap used to do, and it's almost exactly like the 4 or 5 plays that Mark Sanchez ran on Sunday. There was one, it was called 4 verticals. Hey, go run deep. You know what? Sanchez can't throw it downfield. You know what he's going to do? He's going to chunk it down to the running back. One of those, he short hopped by about 4 yards, which is a throw I could have made. Running back screens, dig routes, slants, any quarterback, I don't care if you are good or not, can make those throws. This is not about Colin Kaepernick not running the same system as the Washington Redskins. This is about the Washington Redskins, primarily Jay Gruden, since he was the one that had to speak about it, not wanting Colin Kaepernick. 855-212-4227. Let's get to Kevin, who is in Michigan. Kevin, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Tiki? Yeah, my whole point is I have no idea where the man is. Is he in Africa? Is
no.
Has he been, you know?
He's actually been in New York, to be honest with you, for a lot of this, Kevin. He's been right here in New York. He's been working out. The problem is nobody sees him. Nobody hears him say anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, that's the thing. If he comes out and says, look, I want a chance. But he's never done that. He's never even he lets everyone else speak for him. And that's my biggest issue. Look, I understand the whole taking the knee. Mm-hmm. I understand the collusion case. And also, if he does wind up signing with a team, does that then dismiss his collusion case?
Yeah, maybe.
Then he signed with somebody.
Yeah, I don't think it will, because Eric Reed was also party to that collusion case. And Eric Reed got signed by the Carolina Panthers. And I don't think the case went away. You know, it's a good question, Kev, and it's a good point. And that was my original point from the very beginning. Once Cap was out of the league for a little bit of time, just say you want to, like, scream from the mountaintops, I want to play football. You know, put the pressure that way back on NFL teams by saying, I want to get back into the National Football League, but none of these guys will give me a chance. Then it becomes a little bit different. Let's get Kyle, who's over in Wisconsin. Kyle, welcome to Tiki and Tierney.
How's it going, Tiki?
I'm well, man. Yourself?
My point's very similar to what you and Kevin just talked about. My biggest question is, does Cap want to play football? Is that his main priority, to play football? Because I think if it was his priority, number one priority, he would be on a football team, if not a starter of a football team.
Well, everybody says – well, here's the thing, Kyle. Everybody says he is. Like, the guys who worked out with him in the offseason said, yeah, he's ready to go. He posts – not him, but I think his trainer posts videos of him working out and throwing and all these things that portend that he wants to play football. But let me ask you a question. Now, you don't – I'm assuming you're a Green Bay Packers fan, Kyle, right?
Yeah.
So let's say that Aaron Rodgers – say this was last year. Aaron, and this, I think this conversation actually came up last year with the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers goes down for an injury. You're a Packers fan, and Colin Kaepernick is available. Would you want him on your team, or would all of this other distractionary rhetoric around him be something that you would frown upon?
I think I would be hesitant to have him as our quarterback, but the I think that he would probably give us the best chance to win,
yeah.
So I would want him on our team. But
and I think that's right, Kevin. Kyle, I think – thanks for your call, man. I think that's the right instinct that people should have and should try and should realize about Colin Kaepernick. And maybe it's so unknown that we don't know if he can truly help a team win right now. Like, how much rust would there be? But it can't be worse than what Mark Sanchez had. I mean, the interception that he threw in this game this past weekend was so bad. I mean, I don't even know what he was looking at. The defender looked more like the receiver than his wide receiver, and he missed on a couple of throws. He's been out the same amount of time. He's less athletic than Cap is. I just, at the end of the day, can Cap help you win? That's the question that cannot be answered until we see him with a shot on a team. And I got to tell you, part of me is just curious, just like deeply curious to see if Colin Kaepernick can still play football. And that's not just Colin Kaepernick. A lot of these guys who go away and then end up coming back, I'm curious. That's why I kind of wanted to see Johnny Manziel. But we saw Johnny Manziel, at least we got a glimpse of it in Canada, and he was terrible. Let's get Brett up in Buffalo. Brett, welcome to Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki, how you doing?
I'm well, man.
Tiki,
how are you?
I've waited for multiple years to get the opportunity to talk to you. I mean, multiple years.
Oh, I appreciate
this
that.
This was not the issue that I wanted to talk to you about.
All right.
Believe me. I've been a fan of yours since you were in college, man. I love
that
you played football.
Wahoo wah. Wahoo wah.
Yeah, absolutely. My question would be, and you guys have obviously, you know, so many good callers, so many intelligent people listening to your show, and,
yep.
and a lot of good points being raised. Some of the things I wanted to say have already been said.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing being, it's hard for me to sit here and accept what gets said as if he's being boxed out for solely one issue.
Yep.
When Eric Reed was his partner on that issue, and it took him some time. Don't get me wrong. It took him some time.
It did.
But he got a shot.
But it took a lot of safety some time, just for context. The safety market, for whatever reason, was very depressed this year. Nobody wanted to pay for safeties this year, and Eric Reed deemed a lot of finances to come play the game, but at least that market dictated that. Quarterbacks are – there's a dearth of them. You know what I mean, Brett? There's just not a lot of good ones, and especially the backups. You see them.
He was out there the other day. First of all, it was heartbreaking because Colt McCoy was actually playing really good.
I know.
And it was sad to see him get hurt.
And you saw the report, too. I kind of felt bad for him. Yeah, you saw the report, too, that he hobbled around for like four or five plays and completed a couple passes and set them up for a score after he broke his leg. I feel bad for him.
It goes to show you, I mean, guys keep trying, and you want to see him do it. But to see Mark Sanchez come in there, you know, how could you not say – anybody could play better than that. But my question for everyone will be this.
Yeah.
First of all, who knows better than you? Is the coach going to bring a distraction, a rallying point, or anything else into his locker room, especially this late in the season when you're trying to win games? Common sense says that's probably not going to happen.
Yes, but Brett, here's what we don't know, and that's a great point, and it's such a great point. How do we know that the team, the players, aren't going to galvanize around Colin Kaepernick? How do we know they're not going to love him? We don't know this. Like, so there's two unknowns, and maybe that's the answer, right? It's just that there's multiple unknowns. Can he still play? Can he stand in the pocket, take a shot, throw the ball downfield, read defenses, whatever it is it takes constant repetition to master? Can he still do that? And then two, when he gets into that locker room, is he going to be a leader of men, or is he going to be a distraction of men? And if it's the latter, there's no chance you can bring him in. But how does anybody know that? Nobody knows that. But I know this. Most players around the league highly respect Colin Kaepernick. Even if they don't agree with the stance that he was taking, they respect his desire, his ability, and his execution of how he did it. And so it's a big question, but it's one that we don't know the answer to, and we can't know the answer to. Let's get Kevin, who's down in Virginia, my neck of the woods. Welcome to Tiki and Tierney, Kev.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I am well. You know? Thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll get it right. We'll get it right one of these years.
That's right. Well, it's not over yet.
No, it's true. That's true. We still got the belt ball. I thought we had a great season on hand until we lost to Virginia Tech, but that's another conversation.
I understand that, but I think next year is going to be better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Hey, I just think that the reason the coaches are afraid of him is because of so much drama.
Yeah.
Bottom line, it's just so much drama, and they just want to stay out of that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Kev. I just wish they would say that. You know, it's so simple to say, you know what? I love Colin Kaepernick as a player. I think he could be good for this team, but there's too many distractions that come with Colin Kaepernick. Don't give me the, oh, I've worked on this guy for 3 months. He's been in the program with us, and he's learned the offense. Oh, Cap ran this completely different system than what we ran, or Cap hasn't done this, or Cap can't do this, or yada, yada. Just say it. Just say it. I think if we heard executives, coaches, owners just say, we don't want the distraction of Colin Kaepernick, I think we as sports radio and fans would accept it so much more easily. That's the biggest issue. Oliver Luck is coming up on the other side of our break. We'll get an update, though, please, from Richard Ackerman. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later on in the show, and I'll answer your question. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. 19 minutes before the top of the hour here on CBS Sports Radio. Tiki Barber sitting in solo today. BT is out. I think he's getting his house ready or doing something. Maybe he's doing a St. John's game. But I'm riding solo, about ready to jump on the phone with Oliver Luck, who has such a storied history as a player at West Virginia, a couple years in the National Football League. He was athletic director at WVU. And then most recently, we've known him as one of the voters or petitioners on the College Football Playoff Committee. He is now, though, stepping into a new job as the CEO and commissioner of the XFL. Andrew Luck joins us on Tiki and Tierney. How you doing? I mean, Oliver Luck joins us on Tiki and Tierney. How you doing, Oliver?
I'm doing well, Brandon. Tiki, how y'all?
I'm good. Brandon,
it's not Andrew. It's the old man.
I know. Sorry. I know. I'm just thinking about Andrew. Samter asked me right before you came on, what are you going to ask him about Andrew? So I'm thinking Andrew in my head. But before I get to Andrew, because I just have a quick question about him, because I can't imagine how rough it was for him and for you as a family to see what he went through. But the XFL, I mean, you guys have a lot of press going on today. It's slated to kick off in 2020. The eight teams were announced, and they're pretty important and big city: Seattle, New York, Dallas, Houston, LA, St. Louis, which I think is phenomenal because they missed their team, Tampa, and DC. Well, tell us about the excitement surrounding the XFL right now, which is about a year and a half or 2 years away.
Well, you know, the good thing about what we're trying to do is Vince McMahon, the individual who's putting a significant capital behind this effort, he's given us all of 19, all of calendar year 19, you know, to put together sort of a plan so that we can come out of the chute February of 2020 playing good football,
mm-hmm.
right? That's hugely important. So we think that there are 40, 45 million passionate, diehard, very intense football fans in this country. Those are all the folks, me included, who have a little bit of a void in their life come February, right after the Super Bowl, after the college season's over. So we think we can appeal to that group, you know, if we play good quality football, right? And if I had to choose one word, it would be crisp football.
Yeah.
So You know, I think the mistake that XFL made 2001, they didn't play crisp football. It was sloppy, right, quite honestly. And, you know, fans who like the game, fans who are passionate about the game, don't like watching sloppy football, regardless of what level, college, pro, you know, high school.
Yeah.
So
right.
we're going to take 2019 and really, you know, hire coaches, begin to hire our quarterbacks, start to build our teams, you know, and do everything we possibly can, use technology, use kind of the performance science that's now developed over the last 20 years, didn't exist really back in, you know, 2001. Use all those things to try to come out of the chute in 2020 playing good football. That's really, you know, at the end of the day, what we're trying to accomplish. I think the NFL is at maybe the highest level level ever in terms of popularity, also in terms of talent and skill. I think, you know, major college ball is great. But there's still a couple of things, a couple of places where we can tweak the rules, modify the rules, shorten the game.
Yeah.
You know, speed it up, but shorten it, right? You guys hear the complaints just like,
all the time.
Oh, my God, it's a 3-hour, 45-minute game. It takes forever. There's 4-minute breaks. I'm bored. You know, I mean, I see it. I watch football every weekend, just like you guys do. So we're trying to address, you know, those areas, and they have to do a couple of things that are innovative, that that we think our fans are going to like. So, you know, it's spring football is a challenge, yeah. Right? It's a risk. It's non-traditional, but I think because of Vince McMahon and his capital. And I think, you know, because of sort of the disciplined decision making that we're going to try to have, we can make a good go at this.
Yeah, Oliver Luck, commissioner of the XFL, is joining us here on Tiki and Tierney. How does this compete with, complement, or whatnot with the AAF, which is also starting? Charlie Ebersol's new unit, which is up in February of next year, 2019.
Right. So, Charlie Ebersol and Dick Bill Polian are running that league. They launch in 19. We're not in their markets, or they're not in our markets, whatever way you want to look at it. You know, I hope they do well, quite honestly, because I think all boats are lifted by a rising tide when it comes to football.
Yeah.
You know, what's the fascinating, you know, people have asked me, is the market congested? Is it, you know, there are too many, you know, players in the market? And my response is that flat out no, right? There's lots of space for innovation and lots of space for creativity, lots of space for good quality product. And I think that, you know, we are really focused on putting a good quality product out there with good, you know, good media partners and all that. And I think we'll accomplish that. But, you know, there could be a lot of space. I mean, football, arguably, this is maybe the best time ever to be a player. I wish I was a lot younger.
Yeah, there's opportunity. Yeah, there's opportunity, right?
Yeah, you're offering jobs to players, to coaches, to, you know, administrators, you name it, right? So I think it's almost sort of a high watermark for football in this country. And I think if all of us, you know, college, pro, high school, if we all pull in the same direction, that ultimately we'll keep this game as the greatest game, I think, known to mankind.
I think you're absolutely right about that, Oliver. Oliver, let me ask you about Andrew. I know that that year and a half or so where he was dealing with his shoulder injury was devastating, and it sucked for him. It sucked for us. We were deprived of watching one of the great young quarterbacks in the National Football League strap on a helmet each and every Sunday. How hard was that for him?
It was really hard. I mean, he said this publicly that, you know, he sort of had to look into the abyss because he had to face the chance, the possibility that he would never play again, right? And,
yeah.
you know how intense it is when you're involved, you know, playing in the NFL, I think particularly, you know, as sort of the star player on a team. So it was hard. I give him an unbelievable amount of credit for sticking to his rehab plan, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's
hard, not easy
every day to do rehab. Well, oh my gosh, you know, your mind just, you spin off and, you know, and out into outer space, you know, just rehabbing a shoulder, right? So
and never playing, and never getting a shot to actually, like, is this working? You have no idea. But I got to tell you, Oliver.
Yeah.
He looks better now than he ever did. Now, it makes me think, well, maybe he was just banged up for the first 3 years of his career, and he was lingering and was fighting through it because he's such a tough kid. But does he look as good as he's ever looked?
Well, I mean, he's playing pretty well. He's throwing the ball well. I think he's thrown it maybe more accurately than he's ever thrown it. He probably lost a little bit of velocity that very well could come back. But what I like about the way he's playing now, he's playing smart, right? Because he'd get flushed out of the pocket, he'd try to run, and you know, I don't know how you survive so many years, Tiki, playing at that, you know, and your brother, right, playing in that league and you know, contact oriented positions. But you know, for quarterbacks, you just can't run. So he's playing smart. He's stepping out of bounds. He's throwing the ball away. He's living for another down, and that's crucial because, you know, sometimes a quarterback can be his own worst enemy. I love watching the game and watching young quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson's playing great.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, Jackson in Baltimore is playing great, but I almost, you know, yelled at the TV and said, get out of bounds, go down. You know, I don't want
slide.
You guys to get hurt. You're good.
You're the only athlete on the field. Yeah, you're the only athlete on the field that can slide, and people aren't going to kill you for it, for not being tough.
Get down. That's right. But he's in a much better mood.
Good.
You know, so
that's good to hear.
This Thanksgiving dinner was a lot more pleasant than last year's Thanksgiving dinner when he still wasn't sure if he was going to be able to ever play again.
Yeah.
So, thanks for asking.
No, I'm glad. We'll just ignore last week, though. Oliver Luck, the commissioner of the XFL.
Hey, that was a true goose egg they laid down.
That one's hard. Let me ask you real quickly before we let you go, because I know you're on a media tour here. The college football playoff, which we were just a part of, I think they got it right. And I know when you guys first started this thing, it was set stone. It's going to be four teams. But the argument for eight is really compelling. You know, where do you think the college football playoff is, first of all? And then secondly, did they get it right by excluding Georgia, who most would say is probably one of the top four teams in the country, but they didn't win a championship and they lost to LSU?
Number one, I think they got it right with Georgia vis-a-vis Oklahoma.
Yep.
So I'd give them kudos for that. You know, when will they expand? I'll tell you what might drive a little bit of expansion. Think about this. You know, if more and more players don't participate in the bowl game, right, star players.
Good point.
You know, guys who are first, second round. You know, all of a sudden they may need to expand it to make those sort of second tier bowl games more important, right? More critical. I don't know. I don't think it'll happen for the next 4 or 5 years until, you know, the ESPN contract with the CFP, you know, begins to or gets close to expiration.
Yeah,
You know.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because people are clamoring for it, even though some people love it, like my board op. He loves it the way it is. Oliver Luck, the commissioner of the XFL. One more XFL question for you. February 2020, this is a loaded one. Is the XFL going to look to sign Colin Kaepernick?
Well, you know, we are planning to start signing quarterbacks in the first quarter of 19, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can start to build, you know, the franchises, the eight franchises around those quarterbacks. We've not talked about any specific player, mm-hmm. to be quite honest with you.
Would you be open to it?
The short answer is I don't know. I'd have to have probably a conversation with Vince.
Yeah.
I'd have to do some research. I followed it, but not that closely in terms of, you know, does he want to play? What kind of shape is he in? All those sort of questions that I'm sure many people are asking. We've not looked into it at this point.
All right. I'm glad I had to ask, though. Oliver Luck, I appreciate you, man. Good luck with this XFL. I love these new spring leagues. I really do, because so many kids who aren't quite ready to go to the league can still get a chance to make a living playing the sport that they grew up loving and that we all love to consume, especially, like you said, if it's good football. Oliver, good luck, and I appreciate you. Oliver Luck, commissioner of the XFL. He is going to – they're starting this league in 2020. I mean, they're going to be a year behind – the AAF. The interesting thing, and I don't know if I realize this, Hampton, you got to correct me if he was right or wrong.
No, he's 100% right about the fact
there's no overlap.
None. So the AAF has San Diego, Salt Lake, Phoenix, San Antonio, Memphis, Atlanta, Birmingham, and Orlando.
That's got to be intentional. And you know what that means? At some point, it could be a merger. Seriously.
Certainly a possibility. And I think also part of it is you look at the AAF, their whole goal, it seems like, I mean, Memphis, Birmingham, Orlando, San Antonio, Salt Lake, San Diego, teams that are desperate or cities that are maybe not desperate, but that are thriving and looking to add a football.
Yeah, a sports franchise, a football franchise.
To their market, whereas when you're looking at the XFL, you got New York, mm-hmm. they're playing at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, they're playing at Raymond James Stadium. L.A., the StubHub where the Chargers play, they're going to be playing at all of these NFL stadiums
in
some of the biggest markets.
It's interesting because on my podcast, which I just released yesterday, I talked to Phil Savage, and one of the issues, Phil Savage is the GM of the Arizona Hot Shots. Arizona Hot Shots.
I think a hotspot is like a Wi-Fi thing.
Yeah, you're right. But Arizona Hot Shots. And one of the things he said, and it was really interesting, you should check this podcast out. You can find it on our link. Tiki and Tierney put it out there. I put it out on mine as well, at Tiki Barber. But he said, at the end of the college football season, before the draft, and after our AAF season, GMs and executives at teams are going to have to decide, am I going to sign a free agent from a small school, whatever, Wyoming or whatever it may be, or am I going to sign a free agent from the AAF who's been playing professional football with professional coaches, which more mirrors what they're doing in the National Football League. So it becomes really a developmental league. And if there's eight teams there and there's eight teams in the XFL all pushing talent into the NFL around draft time, that's what could make these leagues viable. And that's been the mistake, I think, of all these other secondary leagues that have existed. They haven't been complementary enough or timed complementary enough to the National Football League. We got a very interesting question on the other side of this break. We know that there are going to be six or seven head coaching jobs opened on Black Friday. There are already two of them, the Cleveland Browns and the Green Bay Packers. They're probably the most exciting ones because of their respective quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers. But the question that I'll ask you on the other side is, what job would you rather have? The interesting answer, I think, will surprise you. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.